I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. We want to say a huge welcome to everybody, obviously. This is the start of the 2019-20 campaign. Our first episode, should I say, of the season. I know, obviously, it's the summer transfer window coming up and fixtures seem a long way away yet. But I'm joined by Jake Jackman, as ever. And we're going to basically run down all the management chops and changes that have happened over the course of the last few weeks. And firstly, actually, because as we record, it's only just happened a couple of hours ago, is the sacking of Gary Monk at Birmingham, Jake. So do you want to say hello and get us started with that departure?
Go, our first episode of the season, it's the 18th of June. We're still about 2 months away from games, but there we go.
We can't stay away.
We can't, no. It's so obviously that happened today, which is, I think it's been in the pipeline for a few days now. I think we've all heard about it, rumblings that it was going on, but it's a bit of a weird one, to be honest. I think he's done a very good job there.
Me too.
If you think of teams in the Championship, you know, you've got Leeds United, who, you know, are known for not being able to get promotion. You've got Derby, who are known for bottling it in the playoffs. You've got, you know, QPR, known for being just the most mediocre team there is. And then you've got Birmingham, who are just known for sacking very good managers way too early. It's weird. Yeah. It's a weird thing to be known for, but that's what they are becoming. Obviously got rid of Rowett, who went on and it somewhat stained his reputation at Stoke. But I think Monk came to Birmingham, similar sort of appointment to that. He did poorly at Middlesbrough, which is why I think he took the job when Birmingham where they were. I think they're near the bottom, but he came in, he did a really good job, got them up the table. I think last year, I'd say they came close to getting the playoffs before the point deduction stuff happened. I'd say they were on the edge of that, and certainly looked like one of the better teams in the division. And now they've always had financial fair play problems hanging over from when Harry Redknapp was the manager and the big spender went on in that summer. But I think he's done very well that job, and he helped them avoid relegation last year, obviously 2 years ago, then last year he made sure they didn't get relegated after points deduction, which is all right. You know, they finished 12 points above the drop zone, even with those 9 points deduction. Yep. And I think if that didn't come when it did, I think maybe they would have had more motivation to play towards those playoffs and they might have got closer to it. Because we saw Leeds, Aston Villa, they went on a big run, and I'd say Birmingham were above them for a large part of the season. So yeah, they've got a lot of good players. It's a weird one. Must be something that's gone on behind the scenes. I know there's a bit of a disagreement about
the... It's been in the pipeline, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think there's been disagreements. And I think the Hotter and the Gardner swap deal type thing that has just happened, I think, angered him a little bit. But it's weird. It's a weird way to lose a manager, especially as now, as we'll come on to, they're keeping his assistant as the caretaker manager. They're keeping James Beattie. You know, these are two Monk loyalists from the last few years, Pep Clotet and James Beattie, being wherever he's gone, really. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out, because I think if he comes into another job, which there might be an opening soon at a certain club I've just mentioned as Playoff Bottlers that we might come on to in a bit, mm-hmm. He's certainly one of those managers you'd think would be favourite to fill in a Championship post.
Definitely, yeah. It's funny you should say that, because I was going to say, I worry for Birmingham a little bit now, because under Monk, I always thought that there were light at the end of the tunnel, whether, you know, if he'd have been there a year or a couple more. And I think in that division, in the Championship, he is a very, very good manager. And like you say, something's gone off on behind the scenes. But ultimately, for Gary Monk, a team potentially like a Derby County, which I know we're going to come on to, maybe Lampard moving on. But he won't be out of a job long. You know, give or take a couple of months, so when the season starts and a club makes a rash decision after 6 weeks and sacks a manager, then Monk may fall straight into that. And, you know, there'll be many teams crying out for him. But having said that, yeah, strange decision. But ultimately, it's like I said, it's been in the pipeline a while, hasn't it? So
I think it's really interesting because, you know, he's 40 years old now. He managed Swansea in the Premier League, did okay there. I think following managers made his job look a lot better. Went on and managed Leeds and did a fairly job there, to be honest. Fairly good job there. We're unlucky not to get the playoffs that season. Didn't go well at Birmingham, but he's come back at Middlesbrough. Sorry, he's come back at Birmingham, and he's done really well. And I think that he'd have learned a lot from these first few jobs. He's quite experienced for a manager of that age,
yeah,
so I think he's somebody that I think a lot of clubs will want. Just a follow up question to Monk leaving. What do you think this means for Shay Adams now? Because I think that this could be something that really means that he's going to leave. Because, you know, an unsettled club is not a place to be when you're a young, talented striker like he is.
It's a great point. And we can go back 6 months even, and I kind of, our 50-50 split whether Shay Adams would have left in January. So for him to still be there, and at the minute there hasn't, you know, been much talk about him moving on as yet. I know things hot up on the 1st of July, and you know, like we said already, we're recording very, very soon ahead of the fixtures. And he could still move on. But yes, with Monk leaving, I always expected either Shay Adams or Lukas Jukovic, one of those, to leave. So seeing as you've mentioned Adams, then I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if he did leave in the next 8 weeks. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be Premier League clubs that see this departure of Monk, and they're going to really try and capitalise on that and bring in Adams. I know Southampton were a club that were interested. I think there's probably several more in the Premier League, and probably some at the top end of the Championship that might think that they could bring him in for around, you know, that £50 million mark. I think he's all but certain to go. I'd be shocked if he was still here when the first game's played at the start of August, to be honest.
Definitely. Let's go on to Derby County, Jake, because we've already mentioned Lampard and the potential departure of him to Chelsea. Obviously, a lot of talk about him at the minute moving on. I know you said about 3 months ago that you expected Lampard to go to Chelsea, whether Derby County went up via the playoffs or not. Losing in the final, do you expect him to go even more so now?
Yeah, I think he would have went even if they would have won that final. To be honest, I think Chelsea, the position they're in, I think a year ago they wouldn't have even thought about it. But because of the financial fair play punishment they've got of not being able to sign a player for the next two transfer windows, we've got a lot of good young players. They're in the Champions League. You know, they're still in a. Still got a lot of good players, even though they've lost Eden Hazard, but they're going to need to rebuild and use that youth academy, use the likes of Mount, Tomori, Hudson-Odoi, players that, you know, two of those Lampard coached last season. So it does seem like a perfect fit, and he's got that connection with the fans. They're bringing in the likes of Petr Cech and Claude Makélélé into roles at the club. It seems like they really want to bring back that generation to reconnect the fans, the players, and the ownership. So it just looks like the perfect appointment. I think that
it'd fit like a glove, wouldn't it? Yeah,
it is. And I think for Lampard as well, it's a perfect opportunity for him because he gets the opportunity to manage a club that, you know, he's synonymous with. He's got a great relationship with. There's not going to be as much pressure without being able to bring in players, because nobody's going to expect him to win the Premier League if he can't sign a player, especially after losing Eden Hazard. So it's a no risk appointment for Chelsea, really. It's a no risk gamble for Lampard as well. It seems perfect, and I can't really see how he's gonna fail there. I don't think he's gonna win trophies galore for the first couple of seasons at least, but he could build a foundation. It's something that Chelsea have wanted for a long time. They've always been chopping and changing managers, and Lampard as an individual that was at the club as a player for, you know, over a decade, he's the person to manage that club for maybe not as long, but a 4 or 5 year stint that they probably need. And the football he was playing as well with Derby, I think, will probably be better suited to the Premier League, especially with the individuals he'd have at his disposal at Chelsea. A lot more, you know, technically gifted players. He'd obviously have Mount there and be able to bring him through, be able to give a chance to those young players that the supporters have been crying out to be given a chance to. So I think it's perfect. You know? I think Derby will probably get a fair deal for him, but yeah, I can't see how he's going to stay. I saw this happening a mile off. The moment Sarri was going to leave and the transfer ban came in, there was only really one candidate for that job.
Yeah, I agree. It does, like I say, fit perfectly. I still do think Lampard is very, very premature in his management reign. I mean, he's only done a year at Derby, as we know. But having said that, you've already touched on it, Jake. It is a no-risk appointment. Whether Lampard does well or not, he's always got an excuse that he's not been able to bring in any players. If he was given time, you know, a couple of seasons and say, look, you know, maybe bring home a League Cup and Champions League football, you know, finishing in the top fourth and he were to do that, then fair play to him. But I still think he's got a hell of a lot to learn. Even with the season he's had at Derby, you know, we did say he relied a lot on the loan players that he had, and some of those players were fantastic. So I'm still unsure about him as a manager, but in terms of him going to Chelsea, it was probably going to happen one day. So why not when there's an opportunity and like you said, Jake, they need to connect the fans again with the club and the management. So that one will potentially happen, and next time we could, I wouldn't be surprised if that was a done deal. Many other managers as well, Jake, exiting and you know, being signed up to new clubs. Let's talk about Jonathan Woodgate, who's now whose managerial career will now start at Middlesbrough after Tony Pulis has left. What's your thoughts on the appointment of Jonathan Woodgate, mate?
I think it's similar to Lampard last year. I don't really know what to think of it. I think he was a very, very good player, one of the best defenders that Newcastle have had in the last 20 years, I think. So as a support of that club, I obviously know him well. And he's been a part of the Middlesbrough setup for a while. He was obviously there as a player a couple of times. Yeah. So it's probably a good place for him to start. I think the Middlesbrough fans became so disenchanted with the football that Pulis was playing, and it wasn't only the football, it's the fact that the squad they did and didn't even get into the playoffs. I mean, I think that, you know, it's a good opportunity for Woodgate, and he came across like in his the stuff he said since he's been unveiled, he's speaking well. I think he looks like he suits being a manager, you know. He's saying the right things, and you know, defenders, and you know, defenders often make good managers. I think it's, you know, they've always got, you know, seeing the game in front of them, and that's probably given them a lot of interesting tactical sort of insights. You know, going off to play in Madrid as well, one of the biggest clubs in the world, I'm sure. Yeah. He's probably a lot further along tactically than some of the players that have stayed in England their whole career, like Lampard. So I think it'll be interesting. I think it's impossible to say if it's a good appointment or not. It's a risk, but Middlesbrough went for that tried and tested approach with Pulis, didn't work, so why not go for that, you know, exciting young manager now and give him a chance?
You know what, I'm going to be controversial, and although it's, you know, potentially not a risk like you've said, I'm not convinced by him. I know he's been in the, you know, academy and assistant for the last two seasons, and he's signed a three-year deal, actually, which I'm kind of surprised about. It's probably a year too many for me, especially with the inexperience that he has got at first team management at any level of a professional club. So yeah, I'm unsure, but I'm really intrigued to see how Middlesbrough adapt their playing style from last season under Pulis to Woodgate under this. I'm sure they're going to be more attacking and not rely on defence as much, because even though Middlesbrough, you know, just fell short of the playoffs, you've got to hand it to Pulis that he does, you know, as a defensive coach, he does get it right. Like, Middlesbrough have conceded minimal amount of goals this last couple of seasons and have been great for that. It's just the forward line that, you know, have let them down. And I'm sure Woodgate, he's already said that he likes, you know, he wants his team to play football and attack. And for that reason, like you said, Jake, it will be similar to the Lampard, you know, when he came in at Derby. I'm just not convinced that Middlesbrough will do any better under Woodgate than they did under Pulis, if I'm honest.
The thing with me, I would just compare it to sort of the flurry of managerial appointments we had last summer and going into the last season across the Football League and in Scotland as well. We obviously had that crop of the so-called golden generation. You know, you had Lampard at Derby, obviously spoke about him. Gerrard did some good things at Rangers. Joey Barton, a little lower profile in terms of his footballing ability, but he made Fleetwood into a pretty decent team in League One, one of the better teams to watch from by all accounts, and Sol Campbell down what he did at Macclesfield. I think they all did it, came in and did well. So I think that's probably given Middlesbrough the, you know, the confidence to bring in Woodgate, and it's not so much of a blind appointment because he's been at the club for so long. They obviously know a bit about him. They you know, they're not bringing him in like Derby brought in Lampard. I have no idea. They know what he's about, I think. And Gibson isn't a fool as an owner. He doesn't. He's one of the better ones. Really, I think he's obviously been in the Championship a few more years than he'd have wanted. But I think he gives the managers time, and I think he wouldn't have brought him in if he didn't think he was ready. So I think the fact he's been appointed by Middlesbrough and he's been there for a while gives me a bit more confidence than you have. But it is a risk, and if it starts poorly and they don't win in the first six games, there's probably going to be a lot of pressure on him already.
Yeah, you made a good point in the fact that if he's given time, then that's great. If he is given time, a couple of years at least to get things right and the team he wants, and you know, so that they can adapt to his management style, then great. It's just whether, you know, 3 months in and the sat mid-table, you know, the clogs start to begin to tick in. It'll go round in Gibson's head, you see, and that's when, you know, it comes down to the nitty-gritty. But we shall see. He's also obviously got Robbie Keane and Leo Perkovic as his assistants. So, best of luck to Woodgate. Time will tell with that one. Let's move on to West Brom. Bilic to West Brom. I didn't see this one coming a couple of months ago, but I'm really excited about this one. What's your thoughts on this, Jake?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, really. You wouldn't have thought that he'd be coming down to manage in the Championship, but he hasn't done anything since he left West Ham. So I guess he wanted to get back in the game. And this is a good opportunity to do that, obviously. Obviously, he likes being in England. From his time at West Ham, playing there and then obviously managing there. Was linked to the England job as well, I think, at one point. So, he's quite well known to this country. Be an interesting one. I think it's a little bit different to what they've had in the past. You know, a bit different to Pulis. More experience and a higher profile than a Darren Moore or Jimmy Chan. So, it'll be interesting. I think the Championship probably suits him as a manager better than the Premier League does. I think he doesn't quite have it when it comes to, you know, the tactical, the coaches that you get at the very top often got caught out for probably one. West Ham were often seen as one of the worst teams without the ball when he was manager there. So it'd be interesting to see how West Brom do that. But, you know, I think they're going to have one of the bigger budgets again. I think they've got an experienced squad. They're probably going to make a few signings. And I read recently they're back in for Dwight Gayle, or at least they're looking back at that. So that would be interesting to see if that happens.
Makes sense, yeah.
I think it's an exciting appointment. It shows how far the Championship has come in the last few years. Obviously, Benitez was there a few years ago in Newcastle, but I think this is slightly different. I think it's a manager coming in at a club that was there last season. He's a brand new appointment. It is slightly different. So it shows how far the Championship's come, and I think we're going to see more of these high-profile European coaches come in and manage teams.
Yeah, definitely. It's exciting to have managers like Bielsa and your Benitez in the past, and now Bilic with vast management experience coming in. And yeah, it's making it more prestigious as a division, and it makes teams like Leeds and West Brom more prestigious with managers like that. He's signed a two-year deal, I believe, Bilic, which is about right. But if I'm really honest, I didn't want to go into predictions, etc., really, for the forthcoming season. But having said that, West Brom, for me, should be finishing in the top three next season. But with the Bilic appointment, then, for me, they would be one of my firm favourites for automatic promotion next season. I just think, you know, with Bilic coming in, is exciting, obviously a great motivator, very, very good appointment for this division. So even the management appointment alone for me gives them, you know, that extra ability to go one step further in this division. And for me, they'll definitely be pushing the top two. Do you agree with that as well?
Yeah, I think it's too soon to make big predictions. Obviously, there's a lot of transfer business to be done, but I think they're going to be a team that's real ambition to go up. And I think that this appointment shows that more than anything.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great coup for West Brom, and, you know, and like I say again, very, very soon in the season, without a ball being kicked, but for me, they'd be in my you know, top four at least again next season. But let's talk about Steve Cooper going to Swansea, obviously after Graham Potter left, Jake. What's your thoughts on Steve Cooper, obviously a Welshman as well, coming to this division?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I tipped Swansea as a team that I thought were going to go on and be a real force next season and finish in the
top
six.
I did too, yeah.
I think I'm not quite as confident that now. I think with Potter, they're a really good team to watch, and they look to be building something good there. A lot of young players, but I'm not certain on Cooper. It's a risky appointment. He's done very good coaching in youth setups across the country. Well known in that area, but he's never really managed a club. He doesn't have a great deal of experience, so it's. I think Swansea have looked at it as a bit of an out there appointment. I think it was similar for similar last year with Potter. It's a little bit more proven because we'd seen him managing in the Europa League, whereas Cooper's never managed a senior team, but he's got. He's worked at Liverpool, obviously worked in England setups. He's obviously got something about him as a coach. And Swansea like having these coaches that play attractive football, have an identity, bring in young players. And I think he's going to be a coach that suits the Swansea style. But whether he's got the quality to transition into not only playing good football, but winning football matches as well, it remains to be seen. But it is a typical Swansea appointment. I think they deserve credit for making it. And I think their supporters are probably going to give them a fair chance because it is an appointment that just matches the identity they had when they got up to the Premier League, and they've lost it somewhat, but started to re-implement it last year with Potter. So I think it's a carry-on to that, but I just don't know if he's got the quality that Potter had, but we'll see. We'll see what happens and see how it goes. I think it's a risk, but it's one that could pay off. But yeah, I think we can rule them out of being one of the favourites for the playoffs based on this appointment, I think.
Yeah, I've got my doubts as well. I'm swaying to agree with you. I've had the pleasure of meeting Steve Cooper, actually, and interviewing him during the under-17 championships last year. And he's very level-headed, down-to-earth guy, you know, lovely guy, And he'll probably do okay at Swansea. My only issue is I see him being very similar to Graham Potter. It's kind of a like for like appointment for me. Although, you know, if you look at the downside of Cooper's CV, he hasn't got that first team experience, like you said. You know, only at academy levels, etc. And you know, I know he's been in the England youth setup, but first team management at this level, whether it's even League One, Championship or Premier League, is just a totally different kettle of fish. So, like you, I'm a bit unsure over the appointment long term. I think under if Potter had still been there, I was starting to tip them to you know, finish in the top six next season, even though Daniel James has just gone to Manchester United. But under Cooper, there's definitely a few question marks for me. But I wish him well, and with him being a Welshman, you know, going to Swansea, and they can play some great football. At times last season, they were just inconsistent. So if he can change that, then they'll be up there. But only time will tell with this one. But like I say, best of luck to him. The other team that I'd like to talk about, Jake, finally, before we finish up this episode, is Hull City's manager. So was it a surprise to see Adkins leave initially?
I think it was. I think he did a good job there last year, but I think when he was appointed by Hull, it was quite an underwhelming appointment, and it was very much one that looked like they were trying to save the pennies. I think he obviously did great at Southampton over, you know, back when they got promoted, but since then he's had a few good spells, but he's never taken off to those levels. But I think last year really rebuilt his reputation somewhat with Hull, played some really good football. I think he was helped by having two of the most talented players in the division on their day in Bowen and Grzycki. But yeah, he did well there, and especially at home, they were very difficult to beat and scored quite a few goals. So I think he's probably seeing it as his squad's probably going to get worse. It's going to get worse this summer. It's not going to get better. So in that sense, I think he's probably thinking it's time to cash in on that reputation, leave now before it goes bad, and maybe pick up a better job in the division based on what he's done over the last year. So I think it's slightly career driven by him, but also I can't really blame him for that, because I'm sure working at Hull under those owners is horrendous at the best of times. So
yeah,
I can see why he made it, and I can't really see who comes in and does well. I haven't even seen who's really been linked to it, to be honest. So if you know any of those, Louis.
Well, I've got one name written down, but it wasn't because there was favour or anything like that. It's simply because I'd like to just see him back in this division, and that's Darren Moore. We all know what happened at West Brom. I thought, you know, he was hard done to, and he played some decent football under Moore. West Brom did, and you know, he got them to fourth in the division, and they still never managed to, you know, go up via the playoffs, having got knocked out by Villa. So for me, Darren Moore would be a good appointment for anybody in the Championship. So I'd really like to see him get that job. But at the minute, the favourite is Grant McCann, with Michael Appleton just behind at 5-1 and Sol Campbell at 7-1 as well. But we've already talked about Gary Monk, but he's fourth in line at 14-1 for the job. So already he's been linked with teams in the Championships, which is no surprise. But what's your thoughts on Grant McCann, currently the favourite?
I think he's an all right coach. He did well at Peterborough for a time. Obviously did very well with, I think it's Doncaster last year, wasn't it? Got them into the playoffs. So he's done quite well at that level, and I can see why they would be looking at him, because I think he'd probably be quite a cheap manager to get in. And he's got a bit of experience and normally manages teams towards the top end of the division he's in, even though, you know, now he wouldn't be doing that a whole. I think Appleton would probably be a better appointment. I think out of the names you've read out, obviously apart from Monk, but I don't think he'll be going there. So mm-hmm. I think Appleton would be a very good appointment for them. You know, he's coached at tons of clubs. He managed Oxford, did quite a good job there. part of the Leicester setup for a while under with Ranieri, so he's been about. I think he'd be a good appointment. I think out of those names, definitely that he's the one for me. What do you think of those of McCann, Appleton, Campbell?
They all make sense. McCann again would be a risk, but like you say, he's done well at Doncaster, especially with the team he's got. They kind of overachieved. It just makes perfect sense for him to go to Hull City, so I can see why he's favourite. I think experience-wise, like you've touched upon, Appleton, but I'm still sticking with Darren Moore. I'd just love to see him come back into this division because I think he's good for the Championship, and, you know, he might have to take a step backwards. You know, I know he had a job at West Brom and, you know, go lower down in the league, let's say, to Hull City to make a name for himself. But I'd really like to see him given the job. And he's currently 15-1 at the minute to get it. So the only thing for me, and you've kind of already touched upon it, Jake, is last season Hull was so inconsistent, and without the likes of Bowen and Grzycki, I really fear for them. So if them or one of those were to move on over the summer, I know they've always been linked with moves away from the club, then they may be one of my tips to go down next season, depending on, you know, who the manager is. But I really fear for that squad as well. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Hull, they've been asset stripping for a long time, and it's going to continue, isn't it? So, yeah, I'd think they're going to be in League One before they're going to be in the Premier League again, let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. I can't disagree with you there. But with that, unfortunately, we are out of time. If you'd like to let our listeners know, Jake, where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at Jake Jackman with two N's. So we're on mostly ranting about Newcastle, and I'm sure that there's going to be a Premier League episode regarding Newcastle soon, because there's stuff going on that is just about to come to a head. So yeah, that'll be out in the next couple of weeks, I'd imagine, so keep an eye out for that. But yeah, if you obviously follow the show and keep an eye out what we do over the summer, because we will try and get as many of these up as we can.
Yeah, definitely. I was just going to say, as transfers are breaking news and, you know, the lead up to the season, I'm sure we'll do our 1-24 predictions for the Championship in due course. So we will certainly be recording over the next, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, I'm sure. But I've been your host, at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. You can follow the show at Championship Pod, where we post each show to our pin tweet. So please look out for that. Also, subscribe, like, and retweet the show. We want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.